We're going to begin here on the bottom of Chaf Bet Amud Bet. We're going to do a quick review of what we discussed yesterday, and that is Techilat Sihuf, the beginning of the yellowishness of the feathers of the birds. That's both by the Torim and the Bnei Yonah, as the feathers begin to thicken out. Over there we said that when it comes to Techilat Sihuf by Bnei Yonah, it makes them too old to be used, and by Torim, they are still too immature to be used to be Torim. The Gemara asked yesterday, what does that mean? By Techilat Sihuf, should we just not know whether it's old enough, mature enough, or if it's still young enough to be Bnei Yonah? Are we just uncertain as to what the status of Techilat Sihuf is? Or is this their interim stage in the bird's life between it being young, then mature, and in between beginning of Techilat Sihuf, the beginning of the yellowishness of the feathers until she had Sivu, until they become golden and thicker, that interim stage is a independent stage. They're not young and they're not mature yet. Which of those two is it? Rava came yesterday and said to you, I'll prove to you which of those it is. Because Tashma, our Mishnah says, Prat Techilat Sihuv Shebezeh B'zeh Shepasuk, that we exclude from the Pasuk, and most likely from the words Mina Torim Umina Bnei Yonah. And there we said that Torim Bnei Yonah Velo Kol Bnei Yonah Velo Kol Torim, that only some of them are okay. Well, which ones are excluded? Well, those that are excluded are the Techilat Sihuv Shebezeh B'zeh Zeh Shepasuk. Now, if I need a pasuk to exclude them, Iyamar, if you say Bishlamo Birya Havi, that it's in its own entity during that period of time, then Havi Shapir, it makes sense that the pasuk comes specifically to exclude them. Eliyamar Tzveika Havi, if you say there's some doubt as to what the status of the bird is during that period of time, whether it's old and mature or whether it's young, and we just don't know which of the two it is, then what do you need a pasuk for? It's Drichwal Mute Sveika. Since when do you need a posuk to come and exclude something that is a safek? Meaning that in front of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's no safek here. Shem says, Torim, which are mature, Pnaya, which are young. When does the threshold, where is the threshold between young and mature? We don't know. So therefore, because of that, we have to create an area of safek where we don't use the birds in either instance. But the Gabei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he knows exactly where that threshold is. And so why would he have to bring a posuk that tells us, don't use it b'safek? Safek is something that is generated by us and our lack of understanding, not something that the Torah would address. The fact that there is a posuk that we use as a miut to exclude those birds that are b'tchilat sihuv indicates to us that it must be a birya b'fnei atzma. The Tosfos over here just comments and mentions that this is not a blanket or definitive statement. That it's not always do we say that the Torah does not address sfeikot, but rather he says there's actually a difference or different types of sfeikot. You look in the last Tosfot here, it's in the widest lines of the Tosfot, two lines down, he says, Yesh lomar, d'chol sfeika, d'i efshar lihit barer, any sfeik where it's impossible to determine what the state is, kimo, gabe baheret, umaser, these are examples that he brought before, t'lefamim shu kach, ulefamim shu binyan acher. It manifests itself in different ways at different times. I mean, that's not always the same manifestation. And since it's not always the same manifestation, that's a safek that we will never know what the status of this item is. Over there, then it's shayach limute mikro shapir, that we do have psukim that come to exclude such instances. Bitam shem safek, even though they're a safek. Aval hocha, our case over here, ebshar levarer. It's clearly we can determine what it is. We don't know where the threshold is, but every time the manifestation of the bird of tchilat zihuv is equal. There's no different type of tchilat zihuv each time. Tchilat Sihuv is an objective point or threshold with the bird, and every time the bird will be in that same state. We just don't know where along that state the threshold is. Whereas in the other instances of Safek, sometimes the manifestation is this way, sometimes it's another way, and those are Sfeikot that you can't determine. There the Torah might address it. The Torah will say, well, in those instances, do such and such, or don't do such and such. Over here, there's no reason for the Torah to address it, because the Safek is not really a Safek. It's just something that we can't determine. We're unable to figure it out, even though in objective standards, it could be figured out, and if we knew where the threshold was, we would be able to figure out what the answer was over here. And so therefore, over here, the Shovin, Mekame Shmaya Galio, and the Fakodesh Baruch was clear, Imheim Tanim Ogdolim, Bechein Bekoi, Ubek Palgeis, Kulan Shovin, all these are equal. Hilkach lo ata krudu meute mitam sheim safek, sheina sfeka kame Shmaya. In those instances, we'll say that the Pasuk won't come to address Dine Sfekot. Whereas, in cases where the manifestation of the safek changes every time, and therefore it's not clear what the situation will be, in those cases it might be that the Torah does address a safek or exclude or include a safek in those instances. Gemara says, Kimi itzrich kra. Now we need the pasuk for something else. Even though What you're suggesting is true. If we use the pasuk to come and exclude tchilat zihuv, then it would be an indication that this is a birya b'pnei atzma. But in truth, we're going to use the pasuk for something else, and that is the meute nirba v'nevad, to come to exclude certain problems within the birds. And that is nirba. Roveya does not apply by a bird, but nirba, if there was some bestiality performed on the bird, v'nevad, or it was used worshipped for avodah zarah, so those items will be posel the bird from going on the mizbeach. Why would you need a pasuk to tell you that? Because sachadat chamina, I would have this hamamina. Ho v'chtiv, because it says in the pasuk, this is a pasuk found in Parshat Emor, it's in Perech Chavbet, pasuk Chavhei, umiyad ben neichar lo takrivu et lechem elokechem, from a goy, you may not accept karbanot, mikol eile, from all of these. Mikol eile is referencing the psukim beforehand. Psukim beforehand list out the psulim or the mumim that apply to behemot that are not allowed to go on the mizbeach. So mimar meichalot tekrivu et lechem akem mikol eile. They can't bring korbanot with mumim. Ki mashchatam bahem mumbam. They have a problem. Velo yiretzu lechem, and they will not be acceptable as korbanot. So even though a ben Noach does not have a din in mumim, only a problem in mechuser ever, that's when he brings his korbanot on his own bama, and when he brings it in his backyard. So then there's only a problem with Chusei, not a problem with Balmum. But if a Goy wants to come and bring Karbanot in the Mishkan or in the Migdash, which he is entitled to do because we have Ish, the Rabot, et Goyim, nevertheless, he has to abide by the principles that are laid out for a Jew, and that is that there can't be any Mumim in the animal. On that, Ki Mashchatam Behem Mumbam, Tanit Debei Rabbi Shmuel, we have a Breita that explains, Kol Makom Shenemar Hashchat. Anytime the word hashchata is used, some sort of destruction, defilement, that term is a very strong term and a particular term. It references erva and avodat kochavim. Dvar erva, how do I know that dvar erva is included? Ichtiv, because it says by the Mabud, ki chishchit kol basar tako al aret. So there, they all went off their way. They ruined, defiled, destroyed their ways on the aret. And we know that the Torah tells us beforehand that there was a problem with people taking other people's wives with the mixing of species, and therefore we see Dvar Erva is called Hashchata. So too, by the Avodah Zarah, it says, Avodah Chavim Dichtib Pen Tashchitun Vasitin Lachem Pesel Kol Tmuna, that we see that the word Tashchitun is used in the context of Avodah Zarah. So therefore, we conclude from this, Kol Shamum Posel Bo, Dvar Erva, Vavodat Kol Chavim Poslim Bo. Just like Mum is problematic for a Korban, so too, Erva and Avodat Kochavim is also problematic for a Korban. But the two come as a package. Anytime a Mum is a problem, so too Erva and Avodat Kochavim will be a problem. But the opposite would also be true. B'chol she'ein Mum pasel bo, anything that the Mum doesn't affect, ein devar Erva Avodat Kochavim poslim bo, then Erva and Avodat Kochavim don't have any impact. V'hani ofot, when we come to birds, ho v'lo pasel bo muma, there is no din or problem of Mum when it comes to a bird. That there has to be tmimut, it has to be without mumim, and it has to be a male when it comes to behemot, meaning that there's a differentiation between male and female, and that is not true when it comes to birds. Birds can be brought male or female, irrelevant, and they can even be brought with mumim. The only problem by a bird is mechusar eiver. Why is mechusar eiver a problem by a bird? Rashi and Tosfot disagree in numerous places. We've seen this in Zvachim and in Menachot, and Tosfot once again here mentions it. Rashi says in all these places, because of Hakriveuna, the Pechatecha, that how could you bring worst of your items or your offerings before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Mechus Eiver is something that's unacceptable to bring before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tosfot says no, that it's a Gemara in Kiddushin. A Gemara in Kiddushin learns out from the word Min Ha'of, Velo Kol Ha'of. Min Ha'of means not all Ofot are Kshirim. And what is that? That is not kasher. That's mechuser eiver. Tosfos always says that the miut or the lima, the mechuser eiver, comes min ha'of. And Rashi always mentions hakriveu na lepechatecha. Either way, you have the din by ofot that they don't have a din of mumim. Well, if they don't have a din of mumim, I would think ema devar erva avodat chavim nami lo lifsol behu. Maybe avodat chavim and erva should also not impact them because of the hekesh that we drew over here. The hekesh between mum, erva, and avodat chavim. Where you have a mum, you have a avodat kochavim and erva be a problem. Where you don't have a mum being a problem, like ofot, maybe erva and avodat kochavim should not be a problem. So kamash malon, that's what the pasuk comes to teach us. That mina b'nei yonah, mina torim, only some of these birds are kshirim, not all of them. Which ones are pasul? Those that are nirba v'ne'evad. That even though there are no mumim that are a problem by ofot, nevertheless, ne'evad and nirba will be a problem by ofot. But once we do that, we have now eliminated the proof that Rava had that the pasuk is addressing a birya b'fnei atzma, and we don't have any conclusion as to what the status of this bird is. Bezerra now asks an additional question. He first had queried with the guards to the question of the birds, and now Rabbi Zera is going to ask this sort of question in a number of areas. I wanted to bring a golat behema. He offers to bring it, and he says, I'm going to bring it either from an ayol or from a kevis. And instead, vevi palges. He brings a palges mahu. What's the din? And as Rashi points out, and we've mentioned many times, definition of a kevis is a sheep in its first year of life. The definition of an ayol is anything from its second year onward. After the first year, it's called an ayol forever. There happens to be 30 days in the beginning of the second year where it's no longer a kevis, and it's also not reached the status of ayol. Status of ayol really only begins after the 13th month. Not after the 12th month, but after the 13th month. And therefore, there's this interim stage between kevis and ayol, which is called a palges, in that 13th month. Between the 12th month and the 13th month, it's called a palges. So now he brought a palges. What's the din of the palges? The same question, we mentioned this yesterday, that we're asking by the birds, is now being asked by the palges. Just like by the birds, we had a safek, when you reach tchilat zihuv. Is it at that point in time, we just don't know if it's young or mature, and therefore we're at a point of safek? Or is it that during that interim stage, it's a different species, it's a different entity? Below that, it's called young. Above that, it's called mature. In between, it's something independent. Maybe it's the same thing over here. Palges, the 12th month to the 13th month. Why is it called a palges? Is it called a palges because we're not sure if it's a keves or an ayol? We're just unsure as which of them it is, and therefore it has its own status called palges, but that's really a safek kevis, like ayol. Or is palges a separate entity? It's not a kevis, and it's not an ayol. Something akin to what we have by ben hashmashot. Same thing. Is it yom, or is it laila, or is it yom v'laila? I mean, you have these options, multiple options about what it could be over here. So the question that Rabbi Zera is posing is by palges. If I say I'm going to bring a karban nidava, or I'm taking a neder that I'm going to discharge with either a kevis or an ayol, when I bring a palges, have I discharged my obligation? So the question will be answered by which side you take. If you believe that it's a safek kevis, safek ayol, then enochanami manof shach is yotzei. Because either he brought a kevis or an ayol, it's irrelevant which one he brought, because he made a neder to bring either one. On the other hand, if you believe it's a separate entity, then he will not be yotzei's neder, because his neder said to bring or a kevis, or ayol, and he brought something different than that. So now the Gemara says, Aliba de Rabbi Yochanan loti bailach. According to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no question here. Da'amar bir yahavi. Because Rabbi Yochanan clearly says that it's an independent entity. That's not. We have a Mishnah in Parah that says, Hikrivo mevi alav nischei ayol. If someone brings a palges as a korban, then he must bring nisachim along with it, and the nisachim that are brought along with it are the nisachim of an ayol. Ve'ein ola lo mizivcho. On the other hand, even though he brings it, it does not discharge his obligation with the bringing of the palges. On that, Vam Rabbi Yochanan, O la ayo, the rabot et palges. We have an extraneous lashon of O la ayo that is found in Pashat Nesachim and Pashat Shlach. Over there, O la ayo comes to be mirabe a palges. That a palges gets the same Nesachim as an ayo. The ayo brings a shlishit ahin of yayin and shemen, and shnei esronim of flour. So that will be the din of the palges. But what you see here clearly, and this is similar to what Rava had said earlier in the Gemara, the fact that the Pasuk addresses directly the Palges means that the Pasuk sees the Palges as being something of an independent entity. Otherwise, why would I have to include it? Either it gets the Nesachim of an Ayo, or it gets the Nesachim of a Kevis. But you don't need a Pasuk to tell me what's the Nesachim of an Ayo. That's only relevant if you see it as a separate or an independent entity. According to Rabbi Yochanan, there's no question here. It's an independent entity, and you have not accomplished your neder. Question arises according to Barpada. Kiti Bailo, question will arise, Aliba de Barpada. Barpada says, with regards to bringing the Nesachim, he learned something else out from Ola Ayo, and therefore he does not have a specific or explicit pasuk that addresses Palges. And he says, well, you know what you do with the Nesachim for a Palges? Damar Maite Umatne, you bring it, and you bring them out Tanai. What's the Tanai over here? What we would assume is that the Tanai is Ayo or Kevis. Either it's an Ayo or a Kevis. If it's an Ayo, I need a lishitahin, and I need shnei esronim. If it's an kevis, then the nesachim for a kevis are yisaron achat, and shlosha esronim, which is a revi'itahin. So they each have independent nesachim, and what I will do is bring the one of an ayo, because the ayo is bigger than the one of a kevis, and I'll do it all tonight. I'll say, if I need a nesach for an ayo, then this will be its nesach. If I need a nesach for a kevis, then a portion of this will go towards the kevis, and the remainder will be a nidava. Now the remainder being a nidava, as Rashi points out, we said this in Menachot, You can only bring nedavot in multiples that are found in the sechin themselves, which is, you can bring 3, 4, 6, and multiples of that. That precludes 1, 2, and 5. Over here, the difference between the nesach of an ayil and a kevis is one of those numbers. It's one of those odd numbers that doesn't add up. That's the case. How can you bring it? So that the Gemara in Nachot said that whatever is extra, that which is nedavah, we join with another nedavah and we make it into a complete unit or entity to be brought. So that would be what we think the safek is of Bar Pada. But that Gemara says that's one possibility. Mi amrinan ayil v'kevis matne birya lo matne. That the only question at hand here is whether it's an ayil or a kevis, but not whether it's a separate entity. Oh, Dilma, maybe according to Bar Pado, there's still a third safek. Bibiria nami matne. Tamar ibiria havi kule nidava. That he has actually a third possibility. An ayil, a kevis, or neither. So he'll bring a nesech and he'll say, bring the nesech for an ayil and he'll say, if it's an ayil, this is its nesech. If it's a kevis, then what's needed for a kevis is its nesech and the remainder is a nidava. If this is a bria bifnei atzma, then I'll say that the nesachim are completely nidava. And therefore, this safek that the tnai is made according to Bar Pado, we're not sure. He doesn't explicitly say what the tnai is. But there are two ways to read the tnai. One way to read the tnai would make it into a safek ayil safek kevis. And that means by the case of the neder, you would be yotze if you brought a palges, because it's either an ayil or a kevis. The other possibility, what the conditions are that are being stipulated by Bar Pado, either it's an ayil or a kevis, or it's third possibility, it's a separate entity. In that case, you would not be yotze your neder because there's a possibility that it's a separate entity. If it's a separate entity, then it might be something besides an ayil and a kevis. So according to Bar Pado, that's where we'll have the safek because we don't know what conditions he is demanding you'd make when you bring the nisachim. Again, this is very similar to Benesh Mashot, where you have three possibilities. It's either yom, or it's lilo, or it's yom v'lilo. It's both of them together. So here too, it's either or an ayil, or a kevis, or a palges, meaning that there's a possibility of a third entity. So now Rabbi Zeira is going to go on to another question. Before we do that, there's a very interesting Minchat Chinuch. Minchat Chinuch actually appears twice, once in Mem Aleph, when it talks about the Korbanot Shlamim, again in Reish Tadi Tet, where he speaks about it more explicitly and more extensively, Gabei Karbanei Musaf, he deals with the issue of palges. I'm going to actually read you the excerpt a little bit from Kuf Mem Aleph, just because it's more succinct over there and it's easier to see. But he says about the Shlamim, Seder HaKorvatam, Enu Baila Min Behema, Belo Min Of. Comes to Shlamim, they can only come from animals, not birds. Omi Kol Min Behema. Can come from any species, any type of animal. Ben bakar, cattle, vitzon, or flock, vizim, or goats, ben zcharim, ben nekevot, doesn't matter, male or female, ben gedolim, ben kanim, old or young, does not matter what you bring. Shlamim are open, and that we saw in the Mishnah and Kuf Zayin in Menachot. Ve nire perisho, ben b'shalmei chagiga v'simcha, o neder v'nava. When it comes to any of these karbanot, like a shalmei chagiga, or the shalmei simcha, or a neder nidava, where you do not have to bring any specific type of animal, imrotze yochol avi palges. You have the option to bring a palges, gamkein, vinigra palges, and a palges that's a kevish uben shana ad lamed yom b'shana shnia, from 12 months until the 13th month. So what the Minchot Chinuch suggests over here is that no matter what you have, no matter what the situation is, if you're demanded to bring a korban, but there's no specification of what the korban is, then the palges should work. And he says, ulokaman mitzvah reshta tzaditet pil palti bedin palges barichut, I was more extensively dealt with this issue, aval bein imhu safek kevis o ayil, o afilu birya bifnei atzmo. Doesn't matter if it's a safek kevis, or a safek ayil, or an independent entity, ayin buchulin, that's our gemara over here, and nevertheless, ken yotze yedei chagiga o b'neder b'shlamim stam. He took a stam neder, or he has to bring shalmei chagiga, as yotze. V'davka, when is there a problem? Where is the query of Rabbi Zeira relevant? B'noder b'keves o b'ayil. If he specifies keves o ayil, lo yatza, there he does not yotze. Oh, the Rabbi Yochanan mitam da birya b'fnei atzma. According to Rabbi Yochanan, because a palges is not a kevis, not an ayil. Veino lo kevis lo ayil. O the bar podo, to who? Safek kevis, o ayil, o birya, any of those items. Nevertheless, there's a possibility that it's a birya bifnei atzma. Anval shlamim. Imrotze minadero minadave palges. You can bring to fulfill your neder or nedava by shlamim a palges. O shalme chova, imrotze mevi palges. The kosher the korban. It's a fully good korban. A pagase is not an independent entity where it's no longer ro'ui to be brought as a korban. It's just not a kevis and not an ayil. But it's still a behema that's kshera to be brought as a korban. And therefore, in instances where there is no specification of what you bring, for instance, like shalmei chagigah, shalmei chovah, shalmei nidavah, and shalmei neder, In all those instances where there's no necessity to bring a particular animal, a pagase will suffice. It's only where there's a demand for keves or ayil, or you specified in your neder in a devav keves or ayil, then you cannot bring a pagase. Very interesting, Minchat Chinuch, but he really narrows down this case of Rabbi Zeira to a case where there's a specified keves or ayil, but in cases where there's no specification, a pagase will make a fine korban and a good korban. So now Rabbi Zeira continues and asks an additional question. He says, "By Rabbi Zeira, Hom arei alai lachmei toda min hachamet o min hamatzah. I'm going to bring the lachmei toda, either chamet or matzah. Vevi seyur. And instead he brings seyur. Seyur, the leavening agent, which sits, as Rashi points over here, sheyatzah michlal matzah. It's no longer matzah, aval lichal chamet sloba. Doesn't reach the point of being yet full-fledged chamet. It's what we call chamet nuksha, in a sense. It's this interim stage of chamet, which is inedible, yet it still leavens. So what is the story over here? When he brings this item, takes another to bring lachmei toda, either chamet or matzah. Vevi seyur. And then he brings seyur. What's the din? Seyur deman. The Gemara, first of all, wants to know, whose seyur are we talking about here? This is a machloka between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara in Pesachim. We've seen it, actually, we mentioned it in Menachot when we dealt with the chametz issues in Menachot. Just as a refresher, Rashi mentions it in the narrow lines of the Rashi, towards the end of the narrow lines there, where it says Pesachim Memchet, he explains that the Rabbi Meir have a seyur bach safat panim, that when the bread, the dough, turns palish, that's already considered or classified as seyur. Vafilu ein sham sedek. Even if there are no cracks in it, it's already classified as being seyur. Vim nistak. If it begins to crack, afilu kekarnei chagavim. Even like the antennae of a grasshopper, mikra siduk. That's called cracking. And v'chayav karet. And that comes full-fledged chametz. In addition to that, Rabbi Meir says, if you eat seyur on Pesach, you get malkot. You get the din of malkot because it's chametz nukshan, you get malkot. So Rabbi Meir's opinion is such, you have matzah. Then, if it becomes pale, the dough becomes pale, that already has reached the status of seyur. If you consume that on Pesach, you will get malkot. The next stage after that is that the dough begins to crack. Even the smallest cracking in the dough, that already is classified as full-fledged chametz, and if you eat that on Pesach, you will be chayav karet. That's the din of Rabbi Meir. On the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda argues on two of these points. First of all, Rabbi Yehuda says that ichsifu panav, when it comes to the dough turning pale, that's nothing. That's still matzah, that's full-fledged matzah. Only once the dough starts or begins to crack, that is called seyur. Seyur is the beginning of the cracking of the dough. But to be chametz, it has to reach a point where it's completely cracked, that it's fully cracked or fully reached the point of chametz. So now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, first of all, you only reach the point of seyur once it starts to crack. Number two, by seyur, he disagrees with Rabbi Meir, you do not get malkot. There are no malkot by seyur according to Rabbi Yehuda. Then, when you get to chametz, the gamrei, that point in time, of course, there is a chiyuv karet if you consume it. So now the Gemara says, okay, who's seyur? But the definition of seyur is according to whom? Seyur deman. Is seyur the Rabbi Meir? If we're talking about the seyur of Rabbi Meir, which means that the dough became pale, the Rabbi Yehuda, matzah maliyatahi. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's still matzah. Still matzah, then there's no question over here. This seyur is matzah. Either Rabbi Yehuda, if we're talking about the definition of Rabbi Yehuda, which means that cracking makes it into seyur, the Rabbi Meir, chametzu, then it's chametz legamri, according to Rabbi Meir, and we know what this is now. It's not matzah, it is chametz, this seyur. The either Rabbi Meir, li Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Meir, consistent within his own shita, Rabbi Meir says that seyur happens once it becomes pale. Well, midalaki alei, Rabbi Meir, we said before, even when you ate seyur, the chametz nuksha, you get malkot, chametzu. That means that it is real, full-fledged chametz. So even though it's called seyur, and it hasn't reached the point of chametz to be great, nevertheless, it's chametz enough that you're going to get malkot on it for consuming it. So according to Rabbi Meir, it's clear that it's chametz. So the seyur here, if it's called seyur, according to Rabbi Meir, either Rabbi Meir l'shita to, that's called seyur, and you get malkot for it, it's already chametz. Or if it's the seyur, according to the definition of Rabbi Yehuda, which means that it's cracking, according to Rabbi Meir, that's clearly chametz. So all seyur, according to Rabbi Meir, is clearly going to be defined as chametz, so there'll be no question over here. So the only question then must arise according to Rabbi Yehuda. What we just said, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you're talking about the seyur as defined by Rabbi Meir, that's considered to be regular matzah. Ela, it must be the seyur, Rabbi Yehuda l'shita to, ela Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda mai. According to Rabbi Yehuda himself who says by Seyur that when it begins to crack, it's called Seyur, but you don't get Malkot. What's the definition of that Seyur? Sfeika havyo. It's a Sfeik. V'nofak mimonavshach. And your Yotzei mimonavshach. I mean that point in time when the Seyur, when it begins to crack, we call it Seyur, but it's either Chametz or Matzah. We're just not sure which one it is, so we call it Seyur in the middle. O Dilma, Biriyahu v'lonofik. Or maybe Seyur is a totally different category. It's a category of Matzah, it's a category of Chametz, and in between them sits a separate category called Seyur. So this is that question of Rabbi Zera. Zera's question over here is, I brought the Seor, am I Yotze or not Yotze? Well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's unclear as to what the status of the Seor is. Is the Seor a status of Safek? The status of Safek, we're fine then, because you either brought Chametz or Matzah, and you discharge your obligation. On the other hand, if you believe that it's its own entity called Seor, then you're not Yotze, because you promised to bring Chametz or Matzah, and you're bringing neither of them. So now the Gemara asks, I don't understand this whole question here. How can anybody ever take a neder that says, Hare alai chmei todah? There is no such neder. Why? V'amar Rav Huna, homer harai alai lachmei todah, mevi todah v'lachma. Anybody who makes a neder to bring the lachmei todah is then obligated to bring not only the lachmei todah, but the korban todah itself. Because everybody knows that you don't bring lachmei todah without a todah. So if you take a neder to bring lachmei todah, you're also going to bring the todah along with it. Well, if you bring the todah along with it, v'kevin tit chayev lei b'todah, Vilachma, ahalo yedai ha'gavri chametzu delaiti matzah umatzu delaiti chametz. So wait a minute. He says, if we're talking about now a real obligation to bring the 40 chalot that come along with the todah, then if he's uncertain as to whether it's chametz or matzah, then it's going to be problematic even according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because even according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says, it's safek chametz, safek matzah. That doesn't help you. In this case, you got to bring your 40 chalot, and you need to know whether you need to bring matzah or chametz. If you don't know what the Seor is, it's not going to help you with the remaining 30, because you don't know what other 30 to bring. So you're going to have to bring 40 anyway. So what's the question over here? So lo tzricha. No, the case here is, damar hare alai chala liftor todato shoploni. He's not offering himself to bring lachmei todah, and that would generate also a chiyuv todah, but rather he's saying, I will take care of the chalot todah for this individual who's bringing a todah. Mar says, sof, halo yada ha'gavri chametzu deleite matzo matzo deleite chametz. He still doesn't know what the Seor is. Even if you say it's a Safek, it doesn't help you over here, because either it's Chametz or Matzah, but we don't know which of the two it is. We don't know which of the two it is. We don't know what to fill in for the remaining Chalot. So this individual is going to have to bring the 40 Chalot, because he doesn't know what's been discharged already. So that also can't be the question over here. Halo yada ha'gavri Chametzu delaiti Matzah, or Matzahu delaiti Chametz. He doesn't know if it is Chametz that he needs to bring additional Matzah, or it's Matzah and he needs to bring additional Chametz. So what is the question over here? Ella. He said the statement that we said before, Damar Elai Chalot Todato Shoploni, but he doesn't say Liftor Todato Shoploni. Mefik Abra, Mefik Gavra Yedei Nidro Nafik. Are you Yotzi your Neder? Olo Nafik, or you're not Yotzi Neder? And this leaves as a Teiku. So the last statement, or this is the way we can come up with a case where you could actually bring 10 Lachmei Toda, and we don't know if they're Chametz or Matzah, that we could have a question that is raised by Rabbi Zera. And that is the situation like this. He says, I'm going to bring the lachmei todah along with this person's todah. But he doesn't say liftor. He doesn't say to discharge the obligation of the individual who is bringing the korban. Therefore, the person who's bringing the korban has got to bring 40 separate chalot, because he doesn't know what this seor is. He doesn't know if it's chametz, it's matzah. He's got to discharge his obligation. He's going to bring 40 separate ones. Nevertheless, this individual can donate them, because he never said that he would discharge the person's obligation on the todah. He just said that he's going to bring lachmei todah. And that's what he's doing now. He's bringing lachmei todah. The question is, did he bring lachmei todah? Did he bring chametz or matzah? Or did he bring something independent called seor? And that's the safek that we have over here. And that we leave as a teiku. We just don't know what the status of this seor is. Is it chametz? Is it matzah? Or is it chametz and matzah, meaning it's some sort of independent entity, and therefore you would not be yotze your obligation. Okay, next Mishnah. The next Mishnah is in a similar format to the Mishnah that we've seen before, which is kasher bepara pasul begla, kasher begla pasul bepara. That which is good by the para aduma is no good by the egla rufa. What is good by the egla rufa is no good by the para aduma, and the Gemara right away explains what that means. Tan Rabbanan, para b'shchita kshira, parifa psula. Para aduma has to be shechted and not have its head chopped off from behind. Egla be'arifa, as it's known as an egla rufa, the reason is because you cut off its head from the back of the neck. That is kshera. B'shchita, if you do shchita, and then it's psula nimtzeit, and therefore you conclude what our Mishnah said, kasher bepara, that which works by the para shchita, is pasul be'egla, does not work by the egla rufa. Kasher be'egla, what works by the egla rufa, meaning cutting from the back of the neck, pasul bepara, does not work by the para duma. Now truthfully, you could ask this question, or what we're going to ask in a minute, on old kodshim, but the Gemara asks it specifically about para and egla rufa because of the common denominator between them. They're both kodshim b'chutz. They both have a requirement of no work be done with them. They have certain things that are in common, and therefore the Gemara pursues this logic between them rather than kodshim in general. And that is the question. A para should be kshira with chopping the back of its neck off. Mikav v'chomer. Umay egla shlo hukshira b'shchita. And egla shchita doesn't work with it. Hukshira b'arifa. Nevertheless, chopping off the back of the neck works. Para shukshira b'shchita. Para that shchita definitely works. Enu din shukshira b'arifa. Then certainly it should work by arifa to take care of the para aduma. So Tosu says it's not really a kav v'chomer, but rather a mei matzino. So mei matzino is telling us that, well, we find that Arifa works. We find that Shechita works. Well, if Shechita works here, why doesn't Arifa also work over here? So Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Vishachat Vichuka. By the Parah Adumah, it says, Vishachat Ota Lefanav. And then it says in that Parsha, Zod Chukat HaTorah. So you see the word Chukah, and we learned in the Gemara in Zvachim as well as Menachot, the word Chukah is Le'akev. Rashi says that's the definition of the word Chukah means Le'akev. Rabbeinu Tam, and Tosfos mentioned over here, says that the word Chukah is learned out from Gzeira Shavah, from other places, to teach us that it is Me'akev. So you see here that Shechita is Me'akev by the Parah Adumah. B'shechita in, Barifa lo. You can only do it with Shechita. You cannot do it with the chopping on the back of the neck. Gemara says, V'chol heicha dichti be'chuka lo darshin en kal v'chomer. Is it really true, once you have the word chuka there, which demands that things be done in a specific manner, that we no longer darshin a kal v'chomer that would include other items? V'agabi yom rikapirim? V'yom kibir dichti be'chuka. We know that the entire parsha is covered by the word chuka at the end of the Avodat Yom HaKippurim, it's actually machlokas, whether it applies only to the Maasim or the Avodah Bifnim, or also to the Avodah Bachutz. But nevertheless, you do have the term Chukah that is mentioned by the Parim of Yom HaKippurim. V'tanya, we have a Braita. V'asahu Chatat. You make it into a Chatat. Here we're talking about the Goral that's placed on the Shnei Asirim. And you make it into a Chatat. One of them is a Chatat, L'Shem Hashem, and one is L'Azazel. A Goral, Oseh Chatat, V'en Hashem Oseh Chatat. The only way to make a chatat into chatat is through the lottery, and not by speaking, not by saying that it should be a chatat. You can't say this is a chatat and this is the azazel. That will not work. You have to do it through the lottery. And that's learned out of the pasuk, v'asau chatat. You make it into chatat, meaning that the goral will make it into the chatat. Shiacho v'alo dinu. This is also this difficult lashon that Tosos mentioned before that we find here a number of times, but they're really mutually exclusive terms. Because you would have thought to say, mamba makom shlo kidesh. In a place where Shlo Kidesh HaGoral, that the Goral doesn't work. For instance, by birds, by kinim that are brought to the Mikdash, one is a Chatat, one is an Ola. If you bring them to the Mikdash and then you throw a lottery, which one's an Ola, which one's Chatat, that won't work. You must specify which one is an Ola and which one is a Chatat. Tosfos just points out, he says, how does the Gemara know for certain that a Goral will not work by kinim? We don't have any miyot or anywhere that says that a Goral will not work. Tosfos says there must be some miyot somewhere that excludes it. The Gemara knew that that was the case, because the Gemara takes it for granted that the Goral will not work by the Kinim. So over there, where the Goral doesn't work, Kidesh Hashem, so they're speaking it out and saying, this is an Olah, this is a Chatat that works. Then, over here, Makom Shekidesh HaGoral, over here by Yom HaKippurim, where the lottery works, Eino Din Shekidesh Hashem, certainly it should work through speaking and saying that it's a Chatat or Lazazel. Tamal Omer, that's why you need the Pasuk Vasau Chatat. To teach you a Goral Oseh Chatat, Vein Hashem Oseh Chatat. Only the Goral works, but speaking it out does not work. So, Taima Dichtiv Rechmano Vaseu Chatat. It's only because we have a miyot from the Pasuk Vaseu Chatat that the Goral is the only thing that works, nothing else works. Halav Hachi, had you not had that miyot, Darshin and Kavachomer, we would have learned this Kavachomer, and we said, Eino Chanami, just like the Goral works, so too, calling it a Chatat and an Azazel would work just as well. So, you would Darshin such a Kavachomer, even in the face of a Chukah. So if that's the case, just because it says Shachat over here and Chukah, doesn't mean that it would not also include the fact that you could do it Arifa from the back of the neck. So Gemara says, okay, we have a separate limud for that, and that is because Miyut Rachmana Gabe Egla. By the Egla, it is a miyut of Ha'arufa. It's Egla Ha'arufa, which means Zot Barifa Vein Acheret Barifa. Only the Egla Arufa gets killed in this manner, but it will not work in any other instance. So that will exclude the Parah Adumah. What about the other way around? Let the egla be kashir b'shchita mikav v'chomer. Ma parash lo k'shira b'arifa. Here we just learnt out that a parah cannot have arifa done because of the exclusion of arufa. Nevertheless, k'shira b'shchita, shchita works better because it says v'shachat explicitly by the parah duma. Egla shekshira b'arifa. Just saw that the egla is k'shira b'arifa by the breaking of the back of the neck. Ein udin shok k'shira b'shchita, then certainly shchita should work with it. Amar kra v'arvo v'arfu ha'egla. Barifa and b'shchita lo. And Rashi points out over here that the term marfu is used twice. And since it's used twice, it's la'akev. And it comes to teach you that arifa works and nothing else works. And therefore we have specific psukim by each of them. We have Vishachat and Chuka by the Para Dumat that teaches that you do it through Shechita and it's possibly Me'akev. How do we know that you can't do it through Arufa? That's on the Miut that's found by Egla Rufa that says Ha Arufa and not anything else. On the other hand, by the Egla Rufa, we know that you have to do it through Arufa. How do I know you can't use Shechita? Because there it says Rafu twice. And that means that you must do it through Arufa and no other way, that Shechita does not qualify to be used by the Para Aduma. It will stop over here.